April 19th, Easter weekend 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the new podcast series. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I'm coming to you from our beautiful Banting Park home here in Waukesha's 2nd Aldermanic District. I am joined by the extraordinary young talent, my producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who is at the WAUK Studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. And I'm really honored to have this morning's guest. As many of you know, I'm a huge history buff. I'm always citing historic dates, moments, references. And I'm also a huge fan of social history. And Waukesha County, Waukesha, the city, as we know, have a rich social history that people don't always know about or celebrate or observe. And so for this reason, I'm really honored to have my guest, the executive director, Nikki Sciuro. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Sciuro.
Thank you so much. Nikki Sciuro. So, Nikki is in her third year with the Waukesha County Historical Society and Museum, following a very accomplished career in education, primarily special education and administration that spans over 30 years. And if my wife was available, Nikki, I think she would have been a better host, because my wife has probably over 25 years of education as a teacher and administrator and all in the charter schools. So she was really pleased to hear that you were with, you'd spent some time with Escuela Verde. Did I get that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
And, yeah. My wife was at Bruce Guadalupe, the United Community Center, for 20 plus years. She was the first principal of the Acosta Middle School, which was an honor to her because she's very good friends with Israel and Dora Acosta, a big part of the United Center community. And then in the last, I guess, 3 to 4 years now, she's been here in Waukesha with La Casa de Esperanza and is really excited that her students will be coming to your to the museum next week as part of your intergenerational history fair. Did I get that correct? Or heritage fair.
Heritage fair, but history fair, all the same.
So terrific. And anyway, there's so much. We want to give Nikki an opportunity to discuss the many opportunities that us sons and daughters of Waukesha and Waukesha County, for that matter, or anyone that loves history, can take advantage of and participate in all the wonderful offerings at the Historical Society and Museum. So, Nikki, where would you like to start?
Well, we could start with the history of the Historical Society Museum, or we could start with what we have to offer right now. So I kind of think what we have to offer right now, and then we can talk a little bit more about some history.
Let's do that. Yeah, because again, being a history nerd, and I say that with pride, I will probably, we'll go down a rabbit hole when we start getting into the history of the, but go ahead, please.
I'm right with you on that.
We're kindred spirits.
We just connected on LinkedIn, so I don't know if you saw that.
Like, yes, yeah, and I think I sent you an invite on Facebook too, so.
And museum studies and project-based learning is all my thing. So the Waukesha County Historical Society Museum. So we're a historical society and museum. So I'm going to start with the museum part. So we are open Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. And then today on Saturdays, we're open 10 to 4 p.m. If people are interested in having a tour, like if those times don't work for them, they can definitely call us and we can work with our education director and schedule a tour for folks. So as a museum, we're open these days. And our exhibits, we have an amazing Les Paul exhibit that had opened originally, I think, in 2013, before my time here. We have an agriculture exhibit, the Agriculture Legacies of Waukesha County. We have, because we're in a courthouse, you know, there's some interesting trials that have happened here in this old courthouse. So we're highlighting the Grace Lusk, Dr. Roberts trial.
Oh, yeah.
Waukesha's own fatal attraction.
Yeah.
And that exhibit had been redone by our, I can't call him a new curator anymore. He's been with us for a little over a year, Zach Dickup, who just does an amazing job.
That's great.
Yes, and he's currently working on a new Springs exhibit. The three of us that work are paid employees, myself, Zach, and Sammy, who's our education director. We all went to UWM.
Nice.
And get our master's there. Zach and I
forgot to mention your many degrees, and of course UWM. That's great.
Don't mention it. It's ridiculous. And Sammy's archaeology PhD candidate right now. So we all kind of come from that Milwaukee public museum model where we really want to make the exhibits very immersive. And you had mentioned all my education criteria.
Yes.
We're also making the exhibits more interactive.
Great.
So hands-on, minds-on, enjoying playing and making that an intergenerational experience. So we're small but mighty, and it takes us time to get there, but those are some of our current exhibits.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And tell me your curator's name in his first year. Did I get that right?
Zach Dickup.
Zach Dicka, that's terrific. Well, and I'm excited to hear about the new, not fresh meat, but the new young talents coming in, because, and I wanted to wait till we are kind of deep into the interview. As I mentioned, we did, back when we had the radio show, we had a wonderful interview in March of last year with John Shane Connect, who's been very active with the, I forget what his title is in a volunteer capacity, but he's a retired Butler Middle School teacher who, when he first interviewed, saw in the local telephone book something about the Springs era, and the secretary at the middle school had no idea what he was talking about. And that drove his curiosity, and he's now like really arguably the foremost expert of Waukesha's Springs era and has published several books. But on my radio show, I kind of put him on the spot. It was near St. Patrick's Day, and he's like, I couldn't tell you anything about the Irish and Waukesha. Like, but this is before the show. But then we get to the show, and he starts telling me about an Irish neighborhood on like one of the bluffs. I guess I'm guessing they'll be further north, and it was known as a tough neighborhood, and being Irish, I guess I can relate to that. But I was going to say that John set a very high bar for you, but you, so far you're doing great. And of course it must be like a real honor, maybe even humbling, or just for you to be surrounded by so many great volunteers. And of course your staff talents. And then with Zach Dicka coming on board, that's gonna be even more exciting that there's some new, and that you guys have this relationship through UW Milwaukee.
Yeah, and you know, as executive director, and you had mentioned like some of my other activities, that like knowing that I'm not the expert, and reaching out and connecting with people, and making sure that we are, you know, if I have a question, we have a need, we reach out to people and we form this community. With the more people we have and the different skills and different knowledge bases that we have, that's so powerful. It's so powerful. So and then what I also do a shout out to our education coordinator Sammy. You said your wife and Lakasa are coming to our intergenerational heritage fair. She's just been absolutely amazing and really stepping up and organizing our education programs. I say that we cannot sit here in our castle. If you haven't been to our beautiful museum and our beautiful building, please come. But we have to be out in the community. So all of us, and that the Sammy, Zach and I, and the volunteers, like we get out, we do museums to go. When there's a community event, I'm like, can I set up a table? Can I put up a discovery box? You know, can we talk to people?
That's terrific. And yeah, and like I said, that's to be continued, because I will have to talk offline about that. I'd love to organize something with you offsite, that with some of the partnerships I have from my time on the city council and from my current work with civic media here. As you know, I'm a huge history buff. I will confess though that my only time really visiting was that the Sesquicentennial Gala when I was still in the council back in 2021, that was. And then a couple years later, I think it might have been you that I met at the front desk to arrange that interview with John Shane Kinect.
I think it was, because I'm like, I can't do it that day.
Yeah, that's right. Because I also want to do what I'm doing as part of Waukesha's living history. So I'm hoping someday there'll be an exhibit for This Week in Waukesha. But because this is history, we're living history. And there's so many amazing things. And that's why I try to have students and teachers and coaches on and everyday people that impact Waukesha life. So you don't have to convince me, but for the benefit of our listeners, why should people be more interested in history and the importance of education in history, both in a curricular capacity, as you would know as an educator, but also as a passion and for our own, you know, community enrichment?
Well, it's fun. About a month or so ago, I did a career day at a local school. And I said, you know, kind of polled the kids. I'm like, there's no wrong answer. And said, who finds history kind of, a lot of kids raised their hand. Other kids, I'm like, who's like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. And a few raised their hand, and then I ask, you know, who loves history? It's your favorite subject. And some raised their hand. But then we talked about what is history, and you hit it, the nail on the head. Like, right now is history.
Yeah.
Everything is history. And when I went to UWM back in the 90s, there was a poster on the wall that said, you know, everything is history. So there's something that everybody is passionate about. It could be baseball. For me, it's music. It could be, like, for John, the springs. Like, what is this? You know, you dig more into it. Our lives are history. So there's something that everybody enjoys. And history is so big and expansive.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell you right now, there are stories we do not have in our collection.
Yeah.
And reaching out to those communities and not just going, hey, give us your stuff. It's like, hey, we want you and your community here. We want to build that community.
Yes.
So if our Hispanic community, we don't have enough stories. There's
such a rich history here that hasn't been documented.
Absolutely. And a diverse story. And again, am I the expert? I am not. What I am is the connector and building that community. So why should you be interested? Everything's history. It is so important. I've got a sticker design that I have to work on for printing. It's like,
can't wait to see it.
Don't make me repeat myself.
Sure.
History. So just, there's a lot of lessons to be learned. We can look at it through our lenses of our time and our experiences, and you go back and you're like, you did what? But I also will say that person was of their time. So digging down deeper, knowing what those societal expectations and such were of that time, and understanding their history, and then reflecting on it for us now. So it's such a big question. Such a big question. So one, there's something that you'll love about history. And if you're not seeing it, if we're not presenting it, tell us.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about Crites Field. Okay, let's learn more about that and get the material to put do an exhibit.
Yeah. So you'll appreciate this little morsel of history that last summer, my daughter had a softball tournament in Kansas City. And for me, I enjoy watching my daughter play softball. To me, the ultimate goal, the holy grail for me, was to visit the Harry Truman Presidential Library. My mother had bought me David McCullough's Pulitzer Prize winning book on the former president or the departed president many years. And I just fell in love. Just talk about history, too. I mean, there's some great Civil War history in there based on the truth. It was from reading that book that I realized that Kansas and Missouri were like the two bloodiest theaters of the whole Civil War. Yeah. And but anyway, I digress. But while I'm touring the museum, they're showing video captures of Harry Truman's historic campaign when he upset, you know, the Dewey defeat streak. He upset the heavy favorite Thomas Dewey of New York. And on one of his whistle stop tours, he was in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and he raved about the great that Waukesha is a great manufacturing city. And I think I almost got thrown because I was like screaming, yeah, like I was at a football game in this, you know, quiet museum. And but it'd be great I bet if you were to reach that library, if you were able to get a copy of that clip, like how cool would that be to have? Because, yeah, of course, you mentioned Les Paul, and he's maybe the first thing people think of when you think of our history. And but in addition, and Les Paul, like, I think it's great he's in the Inventors Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And in Waukesha, there's so many different Les Pauls in different sectors and industries, if you will. It is a great city of innovation. And so, I'm sure that's captured in the museum. But yeah, there's so many hidden gems that we have yet to unearth.
Well, one of the exhibits, and I don't think I talked about that, we're almost finished with agriculture legacies of Waukesha County. Mm-hmm. Like our cows are all over the world. There was a lot of, communities had an agriculture just to eat. But then you go into cash crops, but there was a lot of research being done at UW-Madison and here in Waukesha from Brook Hills Farm and Keystone and Wern Farm, and the innovations that were created here in Waukesha were then just spread all over the world. So we have an exhibit on the agricultural legacies, and
that's your next Lunch and Learn, right?
It is our next Lunch and Learn, and I am working on and struggling with doing oral histories. When I studied public history back in the 90s, Dr. Michael Gordon was my professor, and he was very big into oral histories, and so. We undertook an oral history project with this too, because, you know, just having some old things, that's okay. Having old things with the stories and the photos behind it, even better. But really getting the story from the people who live it, whose grandparents or family lived it, that's very deep. Where we're struggling, it takes a lot of time. And I learned oral history when it was digital and everything, or analog, I'm sorry, now everything's digital. So
I took a class in oral history too. I highly recommend it to everyone.
Yes. So again, that's one of the things that I would like us to do more of and add to our incredible archives, which I'll talk about too.
Sure. Yeah, you know, in that class, I learned that societies, cultures that have oral traditions have a much deeper understanding of their history than more advanced societies like ours that have all the technology and all the resources. And that's why I think it's important to develop and exercise that oral history muscle of our community and of our individual beings.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I have reached out to, again, if I'm struggling or need some expertise, I reached back out to the UWM Public History Program, mm-hmm. and their class of students in training to become his public historian.
Took
that on.
Neat. So real quick, because it is National Volunteer Appreciation Month, how can people volunteer to support the museum?
But we have some very set positions, and then we also have all sorts of opportunities. So we're always looking for greeters, and those are the wonderful people that when people come into the museum, they orient them to the museum and gift shop and such. We are undertaking a large collection survey project. Okay. So we're looking for some more people to help with that. We also always need help in education, so we have field Sounds trips great. And such. So okay. So those are kind of some of the main areas. Building the research, some research projects too for our incredible archives, and then people can like I had somebody come in. They're like, you know, I'm not looking for a job, and I have a degree in marketing. Can I help? I'm like, yes, please. So if you have, and I have another gentleman who is a videographer.
I love
and
it.
So he's like, can I help him?
Smart.
Yes, please. So
that's great.
If you have a skill, again, we're small and mighty. I'm the only full-time employee. Wearing a lot of hats.
Sounds great.
Zach and Sammy are also part-time. So any help we can get, we appreciate it.
Great. Nikki Sherrill, Executive Director, the Historical Society, the Waukesha County Historical Society and Museum. Thanks for joining us. I've laid the invitation out for you to stick around for the second podcast because we have so much more to cover. So I hope you can join us, if nothing else, at least for half the segment. But thanks everybody for listening, and stick around for part two of This Week in Waukesha, the podcast.